This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msvnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
Commissioner, welcome in with us. Thank you for coming up.
That's good to be here. Thank you.
We wanted to start off by talking about former Commissioner Mike Slive, who did so much for college athletics, and passing yesterday. You can start with his career, but let's start with the man that he was. And we all said this to start the show today. He always treated us like we were the most important person in the world of media. And he seemed to have done that with everybody he came in touch with.
An incredibly kind soul. First time I met him was in the fall of 92. I was the assistant commissioner for compliance of the Southland Conference. I was at a meeting of all 30-something conference commissioners back then. I was on the opposite side of the room. We actually were in the Big Ten conference offices. And just, he said hello. Didn't have to. You know, he could have moved through that day and not really acknowledge me. I was just in the back trying to figure out which end was up in this room of these big people I'd read about. And that was really the type of person that you're talking about, with how he treated you, how he treated people in the media. And I watched him when he first moved here. I was in the process of considering a move here. We were at the Embassy Suites Hotel on a Sunday morning for breakfast, and somebody came up to him. And he just moved a couple months ago, was living in that hotel, and started having a conversation. And I probably don't handle meal interruptions for conversation as well as he did. He was more than happy to engage and just enjoyed the role and enjoyed people.
Literally a soft-spoken man. And you don't see that combination a lot of soft-spoken but so powerful. And that's what you have with Mike Slive.
Well, there was a strength there, and it would come out. His daughter Anna had a phrase I didn't know until I had been here and had actually received this look before I arrived in the SEC. It was the googly eyes. And when he gave you this certain look, or usually someone else the certain look, you knew that from his perspective, you were heading down the wrong pathway. So while he may have been a gentle appearing soul, there was a strength that was inherent in his presence.
SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey with us. I mean, it's not an overstatement to say he was one of, if not the most influential people in college athletics ever. Am I right?
I mean, we're at a time where there are probably an intersection of a few of those people. Mm-hmm. I'm biased towards Mike.
Well, sure, we all are.
Absolutely biased towards Mike. I don't know that it was my line or somebody texted it to me, but it belongs on the Mount Rushmore. I think it was Andy Kennedy of college sports or conference commissioners. You've got Jim Delaney, who's been at it 30 years almost, which is remarkable. And the relationship he and Jim had really walked through some of the realities in place at the time and put us where we are today, I think, in a better way. Absolutely a giant. And I don't know that for any of us you see that coming necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
I think the people you say, oh, they're giants, they end up never being those giants. Mike's one who, to Lance's point about soft-spoken and the kindness with which he treated people, I think these days we expect people have to just be domineering, and I've never seen that to be true, and Mike was perhaps the best example of that truth.
I think back to when he took over, and we mentioned this to start the show as well, the conference when he came in seemed to have so much infighting going on when he became commissioner, and there were probations here and there and investigations going on, and he was able to come in and calm the waters. And I know people will remember the SEC network and adding on Texas A&M and Missouri and the growth in finances. But to me, to make everyone pull in one direction at that point in time did not seem like it was an easy thing to do. And that may be something you deal with every day still to this day. But for him to do it at that point in time seemed like a watershed moment for the league.
Well, I think that if you look back on the history of the league, and I don't know all of the people, so I'm not an expert on Tonto Coleman, for example.
Right.
The past commissioners, Boyd McWhorter, and even Harvey Schiller, even though his tenure was short, and Roy and Mike, and hopefully with me, there is a remarkable ability of the Southeastern Conference to have the right leader at the right time for the right purpose in the right circumstances. And Mike certainly walked into a situation where we had 9 of 12 schools at that time either on probation or under investigation. A 10th was added. The answer to the trivia question is Florida and Vanderbilt by 2003. We're not in that circumstance. And it was a focus for him, and he brought me in as he described the best available athlete, which hasn't been used with me a lot, but it was, I was a generalist. I was a conference commissioner and we worked together on some of these issues, but Mike clearly set the tone. And to the point about a gentleness, I can remember being with him on a trip to a campus. We made this compliance tour with a basketball staff. And that look came out, and there was a message being delivered that was absolutely perfectly clear about the conduct and rumors and issues. I was stunned by the inability of that coaching staff, no longer in the league, to understand the significance of what was being communicated that day. That's a representation that it's always a work. And it was for Mike. There were times that it was public. There was times that it was not public, and they'll be the same during my tenure. Hopefully we can move beyond some of those problems.
You know, branding is so important in business, and the SEC obviously had a really good reputation before Mike Slive took over as conference commissioner. But what did he do for the SEC brand?
That's a really interesting thing to just think about, because you go back to a contract. We'll go back to when Mark Womack 40 years ago joined the league. You know, we had no women's sports. We didn't have a men's basketball tournament. Every Monday, the phone rang, and the NCAA said, this football game will be on TV. This one football game will be on TV Saturday. And that's like a foreign country.
Right.
And then during Roy's tenure, the CFA had broken up, and he stepped out, created a TV agreement, eventually with CBS, that put us on nationally. And then Mike walked into that platform that had been established and really accelerated. So when Mike showed up, we paid the network to air baseball, softball games, threw in a football game. So a couple years in, he flipped that, so we didn't pay anything. It was just 0-0 sum for us. We had CBS, we had ESPN. Then you go to 2008, and that's when he got his feet on the ground. He clearly understood the property, if you will, that was present. Had the help of a great friend of his and an ESPN vice president who retired, and Chuck Gerber, to walk alongside him. And we extended CBS. The ESPN contract created this Thursday night baseball thing that we came to know on ESPNU and was the precursor to the SEC network. And all of that is, if you go back to Jim, to your question, you start to tie these things together. And I had 120 new coaches, and I said, we don't have these great bowl agreements, these TV opportunities, if all we have is problems. And Mike saw that clearly and communicated that. We've continued to reinforce that reality. But you move it forward, and you come to today, and you look back, and it was a pre-staging in which he was poised to take advantage and make the right decisions at the right time. And I really think that's a key characteristic. We could have created a network in probably 2008. You know, the Big Ten had done that. It wasn't the right time. And I can remember a few of those conversations, and people were interested. And then you go fast forward to when we did launch in 2014, almost at the peak of cable TV. We cleared everything. Everything. By Labor Day, by the first football game that year. And that's remarkable. In fact, Bob Iger, the chairman of Walt Disney, had a line that it's the most successful launch of a cable network in the history of cable television. And that won't change. In fact, there's George Bodenheimer led ESPN. His book, I think, at the launch of ESPN2, it was the most successful launch up to that time in the late 90s, at like 11 million homes.
Right.
We had like 60-something million homes.
They had to move North Carolina Duke basketball to ESPN2 to get
a lot of
cable people to carry.
Talking about another conference.
Well, I mean, it just shows the power of the SEC. You didn't have to do that with the SEC.
We'll take it.
Yeah, there you go.
I use that as a backdrop.
Right. Greg Sankey, the SEC commissioner in studio with us.
Took him one segment to take a shot.
I know. They're not over yet. We've gotten a preview.
Well, I was going to ask if we're getting a licensing fee for the decorations.
Yes, as a matter of fact, you are. That was cleared, yes. It's every conference logo, and they're all updated.
I counted.
Yeah, all 14 are in here. You see A&M in Missouri.
You can see the faded in here, but the trademark is right there.
Yeah. I do see that. Yeah. You had the point very...
Yeah, it's in there. It's in there.
We're
all rights
reserved.
Okay, back to the.
What was the? I don't know, like, that Mike Slive ever stood up in a meeting of SEC football coaches and athletic directors and said, "Hey, by the way, the SEC is going to be fully behind a college football playoff." Because I brought this up earlier, it would have been really easy for Mike Slive to say, "We dominate the BCS. We're not interested in a playoff." Now, the SEC has benefited from the playoff. I'm not pretending they haven't, but it would have been easy to say, "We kind of like this system. Somebody else go."
Well, Mike was clear after 2004 season when
right.
Auburn went undefeated, and it was, I think, Oklahoma, USC in the championship mm-hmm. game. And it's easy to forget those realities. It's a couple of years in for him. And so he staked a bit of ground then about an opportunity for more teams to be engaged in the national championship. And again, that's what's forgotten. It was Alabama LSU that changed. No, I think it was the fact that Auburn wasn't in. And things progressed, and certainly, Auburn, LSU may have curried some more interest from others in an expanded playoff. I found that Mike's ability was more maybe subtle than having to stand up.
Right.
There's this notion that he'd pound his shoe on the table. I read that in an article when I was having a particular controversy. That wasn't his style, in my experience. Now, there's a time when it would happen, and when you knew it was happening. It was abundantly clear, but he had used those relationships. He knew where he wanted to go, and he was effective at managing people in that direction. And I mean that in a positive way. And you can imagine that's an incredible learning experience to see that kind of it's a different type of leadership than you read about in books, but an incredibly effective and maybe perhaps the most effective style of leadership.
I didn't see the whole show that you and Paul were able to do yesterday on the SEC Network and airing here on Jox, but I was able to see some of the video passing where Mike was smoking his iconic cigars. Did you ever gift cigars to him? Could you give him cigars as a gift?
I did not.
Yeah.
He would have laughed. Yeah. I mean, I would have gone down to like the drugstore
Swisher Sweets
or something. But I've had this is my wife may learn something if she's listening. I've had two cigar experiences in my life, neither of which ended well. One was with my brother in Vegas on a golf course for $1 a hole. I was down $9 by the time we turned sicker than the dog. And then the other one was after an NCAA meeting with a friend, and the next day I'm like, this is never happening. Yeah, I have said to the staff though. In fact, it happened. Tuesday, we were working on, there were three of us working at this table that I'd sit with Mike and tweeted about yesterday. And I said, there's so many times where I think, and this, I didn't know that this was going to happen Wednesday. I knew that he was not well, but I said, this is one of those times where I feel like I should have a cigar in my mouth, because he'd sit there, it wouldn't be lit, but when he was thinking, he'd sit there and he'd twirl the cigar and he'd lean back and he just had this box. There are some who gave him, let's call them less precious cigars, if
yes.
you will. And so those have become the thinking cigars in the office. And he had the really good ones back home for the porch.
You mentioned animated was not his style. You go back to the infamous spring meetings of 2009 with Lane Kiffin and everything directed. And Mike Slive, I was reading an article, I think, from Chris Lowe this morning, where he said he actually swore and he apologized for that. Have you heard about these 2009 spring meetings?
I was there. Yeah. I was right next to them.
So was it that animated?
Yeah. And it became, so what happens at spring meetings is on Wednesday afternoon, we finish an AD meeting, athletics directors meeting, and then the football coaches come in with the athletics directors, then the men's basketball coaches, then the women's basketball coaches. So there's an hour with each to hear their report. He was wound up, rightly so, because of the nonsense that had occurred in some corners. And it started at a very high volume. Yeah. I haven't read Chris's report, but your description is not inaccurate.
But so there was a lot of eyeballing. I mean, then I'm taking this out of context a little bit, but it was mainly directed towards Lane Kiffin and Urban Meyer.
I would not put that fine a point on. We had 12 institutions with football coaches at the time, all of which in some way needed a message. And then the next meeting was still at a high volume, but a little bit lesser so, with the men's basketball coaches. And then the third meeting was still at what I consider a high volume, but maybe a little
bit. But he was one of those guys that, you know, a lot of people are intimidated by a guy like Nick Saban. But Nick Saban had so much respect for him. I mean, he could actually get into a conversation like that, get his point across. Nick Saban would sit there and take it, right?
Yes.
That says a lot.
Yes. I don't want to give away all the trade secrets, yes, because I learned a few of those too. There is a phrase that I learned separate from Mike called vocal superiority. I learned it from a general. And from time to time, one in leadership has to establish vocal superiority. And on that day, vocal superiority was clearly established.
Name that artist, Commissioner.
You listen to the news. There's some Facebook thing, like your 10 favorite albums.
Yeah.
My wife was tagged in it, and she took sports. Like, that's my album.
Yeah.
Reference back in the day.
Rockstar always gives Greg Sankey some Huey Lewis in the news.
That's sports is the 30th anniversary, isn't it?
It was 2 years ago. Saw him in Nashville.
Whoops. Wow.
Fact, 32nd anniversary.
Yeah, I was going to see him this summer, but he has tinnitus in the ear and like canceled his tour. I think lost hearing.
Yeah, he's going to.
67 years old, Huey Lewis.
Looks good.
But yeah. He said he's going to go.
It's just the news now, huh?
No, they got a few. A drummer, keyboarder, one of the guitar guys. They got four of the original seven.
He says he's going to try to treat it, though, and hopes to one day get back out there. It'd be interesting.
I'd go see him.
Yeah. 23 after. That's the SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey, who's with us in studio this morning. We just spent a segment remembering the legacy of Mike Slive. A lot of you will be doing that throughout the day. There are articles all over social media and your favorite sports websites and some news websites about what Mike Slive meant to sports. We will talk other things with the commissioner in this segment and then have some fun with him. LT does have a list for him, and apparently the commissioner has a list for us. So we'll get into all of that coming up. Last night, Houston did beat Golden State 127-105. No basketball happening tonight. The NBA goes dark until later on. Softball starts Friday in Tuscaloosa, and every SEC softball team again is in the NCAA tournament.
Again.
And that's an amazing thing that you guys – in the SEC, play a sport where every team, first place to last place in the league, qualifies for the NCAA tournament.
And it happened in men's golf this year as well.
Yeah.
And last year, for all that happened, two teams in the women's Final Four championship, two teams in the College World Series, the CFP playoffs. I think the most remarkable statistic is to have every one of your teams in a sport selected to an NCAA tournament.
That's pretty crazy.
There are only 32, 34 at-large spots. So that means you have 12 of the top 30 or 34 teams in one league. That shouldn't happen. Yet it does. And it's happened repeatedly. And it's nobody but the Southeastern Conference where it just means more.
You know, we had Matt Luke, Kirby Smart, and Gus Malzahn on the show yesterday. And I wanted to ask them this question because we had a landmark decision on Monday from the Supreme Court, legalization of sports gambling. It's coming. I mean, New Jersey, it'll be up and rolling next week. Mississippi by the kick of football season. And, you know, they're trying to get, or the NFL, the NBA, Major League Baseball, and to some degree the NCAA involved monetarily. How can you guys capitalize off this?
Well, I think we need to take a step back and understand what happened practically. So what happened was the Supreme Court struck down the PASPA bill from 92, which, and this is simpleton's language because I'm not a lawyer, governed the ability for states to make decisions. And you can't do that. What the Supreme Court didn't say is that the federal government can't make regulations about sports gambling. And Orrin Hatch pretty quickly said he's going to introduce legislation into Congress to govern sports gambling. I think we have to see what happens there. There could be more federal legislative activity that guides the direction, number one. Number two, then you're to state, so your reference to New Jersey is accurate. There was a USA Today article that had the states that have gambling legislation. I don't think, as I understand that legislation, it's all just flip a switch and it goes. There's other legislation that has to follow. We're going to spend time on this when we meet with our ADs, presidents, and chancellors, because what is the position? The position of the NCAA is don't allow gambling on college sports. And I certainly understand that. We're talking about states sanctioning gambling on college sports at universities that states sponsor and deriving revenue from said activity. So I think there has to be a little bit of thought put into this. It's clear that some states will have more sports gambling. Is it limited to just professional or does it go further? We don't know. Then you get to the next level, that if, and that's a hypothetical, and Mike Slive always said I don't answer hypotheticals, but I have to think about hypotheticals. If there is sports gambling, what does that mean? What does that mean from an integrity standpoint? There are many more touch points for the people involved in our football programs than in the NFL programs, many more. What does that mean for officiating? And I'll give you a little bit of insight that we did some research back in 2010 and had some communication with some consulting agencies that work on setting betting lines. Best business people I've ever been around are casino operators. I met with a general manager in the mid-90s when I was the Southland Conference Associate Commissioner. He could tell me the numbers. He could tell me what a boxing match brought in. Most before we ever talked about analytics, that guy had analytics. And it's the same with people who set the line. And that's what's not understood. They know a lot. It's intimidating to know what's known. And so the integrity piece is very much at the forefront, I think, before revenue. There are a lot of statements that, well, you know, we've got, 19 TVs in here, and I can't see the SEC network on any of them.
Right there. It's top left. It's always on. Okay. It never leaves that TV.
Well, thank you. That
is screen.
Making sure, because we are running an ad generating revenue there.
That is screen number three right
but
there.
But back to the question, yes. Lance, you know, are people more interested because they've got a little bit of something in the game? I just read a book on thinking in bets, which is about if you want to figure out if somebody really is behind their arguments, make them put money on the line. So my favorite team is this. I think they're going to win. Make them put money on the line. There's a lot to do before it's present, I think, in our region or even present for college sports. One of the challenges will be if the federal government is not involved, we could have 50 different state laws governing sport gambling activity. And how is that managed? That's not the model that I understand is present in Europe. But that's part of the learning process that we'll go through. And does it do this? Does it do that? I think it's a bit too early to predict. I think we can guess. You put some money on it. You're paying attention in a different way. You're engaged. What does that mean for others, though, who consume our sport on a regular basis? What does that mean for those involved? If we're in prop bets about, you know, did somebody go for it on fourth down or not, when you think about what happens in other contexts, the level of pressure on coaches and young people changes completely. And so we will have to have a different level of thinking around oversight of our sports if we go down just an open market type of gambling activity than we have right now.
He's Greg Sankey, and we have touched on some very serious topics, including the one LT just brought up. When we come back, we love to make this guy laugh, and we'll try to do that when we come back on the Jocks Roundtable. We've had Rockstar ask Nick Saban some questions in the past. It will be interesting to see what Lance has for the commissioner. Maybe Rockstar will throw what is now his infamous question.
Can I just jump in? So one
yes.
of my notes, Saban, you had an interview with Nick.
Right.
Rockstar, coach. This is Rockstar. The fact he begins the question that way.
This right. is
like,
Rockstar.
This is Rockstar. I want to be on the other side of that call with Nick when that happens.
Thick eye roll.
Do you think he held the phone away and looked like, what in the hell?
Yes, there was an audible.
And then he asked him about Saturday Night Live hosting.
Right.
That's the question. You got one shot. We got North Korea going on. We got a prince getting married in London.
Yeah.
We've got tariffs. We've got a cell phone company in China. And that's what we went with, Saturday Night Live hosting.
It was a great question.
He would have answered all of those questions you just provided to
him. Yes, not the one Rockstar asked, though. He didn't like that one.
With the commissioner, he has been giving us, like he just did with Rockstar, a couple of
thoughts?
Comments?
Was
thoughts?
Things you've heard on our show that you want to question, right?
Yeah, several. So let's just go back. I'll be quick.
Several.
Rapid fire, right?
No rush, man. We love to.
We've got until 10 o'clock.
October 17th.
Uh-huh.
The discussion. This was after Orgeron chicken on a stick, if you remember.
Right.
Yes.
Not liking to eat things on a stick.
Right. That's Dunaway.
That's me. That goes back, Commissioner, to when I was a small child. and I'm a little older than these guys.
I'm afraid we're going someplace that will be very uncomfortable.
Well, they used to put that wooden stick on your tongue to hold it down to look at your tonsils.
Tongue depressor.
Yeah. And my doctor gagged me with that, and now I can't eat popsicles, corn dogs. I like corn dogs. I pull them off the stick. I can't eat
What is another food that someone would eat off a stick
kebabs,
outside of the corn dog?
Kebabs. More
this is not rapid fire. Yeah. Steel City Pops. Three words to solve that.
Yeah, problem. Steel City Pops. City Pops.
So this is a couple just Jim Dunaway observations.
Oh, no. Right. Let's move on.
October 20th in Tuscaloosa, credential for SEC Nations, got complete total VIP access, completely walks right by me without any acknowledgement.
Wow, you blew up the commissioner?
I was like, hey, Jim, and I ended up brushing my hair. But hang on, it gets better. The Iron Bowl, he's got this whole set. You know, right. He's interviewing. Jay Jacobs, the retiring AD. I'm walking back to my car, see my car, put something in my car, turn around. There's Jim Dunaway. Oh, certainly. Good guy, Jim Dunaway. We're both wearing pink shorts today. I'm going to have at least a shout out.
Yeah, nothing. Yeah. That's what Jim
operates. Couldn't care. I'm the commissioner of the Southeastern Conference. No, not even a nod.
Never did that to other commissioners.
Not a wave.
He always said, hey, to Mike's live.
I've tried to be nice.
Yeah. Both of those times. Mm-hmm. You don't follow me on Twitter, by the way, but both of those times.
Wow.
maybe there's a reason.
Yeah. Well, Batista does, but Sankey doesn't.
You were with the conversation with Greg Byrne at SEC Nation. I didn't want to interrupt. Mm-hmm. And you were with Jay Jacobs. I didn't want to interrupt. I didn't want to be the guy yelling at you from 100 feet away,
just
interrupting
to clarify,
what could be a huge conversation.
Just to clarify, he was interviewing Jay. I was standing there watching longingly from afar. I thought, maybe I'll get a segment. Jay got 6 seconds, yeah, and I appreciate
it's
it.
Big time.
October 31st, Halloween Day, we're talking about Ryan Brown's beard. Needed a poll for you to determine whether to shave or not to shave. Yeah. Just make a decision.
No, yeah, my wife made the decision for me. As you can see, beard still exists.
I did not understand in early November why you were in Kalamazoo. I completely missed something.
So I lost I was not in Kalamazoo. I was in Mount Pleasant. I think that's the name of the place where I was.
Yeah, it is.
I lost the bracket challenge. And the challenge was, and the listener suggested this.
The NCAA
tournament bracket challenge. The punishment was I had to go to a off-the-radar college football game. We could do SEC or anything. In bad weather and make a fool of myself to try to get on TV. Check, check, check. Did all those things.
and for the record, Commissioner, he lost again this year, and he's going to Manawi, Nebraska. What? Have you ever heard of this town?
No. Population one. That's right. Smallest town in the world.
It's one lady.
Who is Bob Ross?
Oh, he's the you don't know who Bob Ross is.
Oh, come on.
He's the painter. You've never seen Bob Ross, the happy cloud guy?
Yeah, he's got the perm.
No.
Public television.
A lot of negativity heaped on Kansas for being at the Soaring Eagle Casino at the same time. I'm generally a Kansas fan, so they got to go where they got to go, man.
We got to make a check, right?
I
saw him in Anniston once. It can't get much worse than that.
Let's see. Well, who had the problem in New Orleans with bacon?
Oh, that was Brown.
That was me, yeah.
And why? How can you have a problem ever with
bacon? No, I like bacon fine. I don't like burnt bacon. So when I ordered bacon, how did I order it, Dunaway? I didn't say limp. The waitress said limp.
It says, I don't want it cooked crispy.
Yeah.
And she wrote down, all right, bacon limp.
Yeah.
And then she went back and told that to the cooks, and it was a string of waitresses and cooks coming out. Who's the guy that wants his bacon limp? And they wanted to see this guy.
Yeah, they're yelling it through the whole restaurant.
Because everyone likes their bacon crisp.
So when the guy brings the food from the kitchen, he's like, okay, I got such and such with crispy bacon and such with limp bacon.
Yeah. I'm glad I asked, actually.
National Championship Day, it's packed. Yeah, it becomes the center of attention.
February 2nd, I'm on a flight. Guy hits me on the shoulder and says, hey, have you seen this from Wimp Sanderson? It was the you guys don't know anything, basically.
Oh, yeah.
That was his rant.
That was his rant towards us.
He called us idiots.
Yes. He was right.
You guys have a great following.
Yes, thank you.
Ryan Brown.
Uh-huh.
February 4th, Ryan Brown posts a Super Bowl tweet. Negative. No more football until August. Way longer than we should ever be required to go without football.
That is correct.
Positive.
Uh-huh.
The Miami Dolphins are now back into a tie for the best record in the NFL.
That one actually made me laugh out loud. Oh, thank you. I'm glad I can make you laugh. Yes.
April 20th, I'm driving along. You're interviewing Nick Saban.
Uh-huh.
You get to questions like we're about to get to. And I hear this, which may be the most memorable thing I'll hear on Jocks, which is a pretty low bar. Quote, coach, this is rock star. I wish I had video of that moment from the other side of the call.
It would have been so amazing.
Then with all that's going on in the world,
yep,
and knowing all that you could ask the head coach of the national championship football team, he asked him about Saturday Night Live, hosting Saturday Night Live.
To get out of media obligations, basically. Yeah.
A couple things recently. Lance made a statement that I think is challengeable, that the hyena has the most powerful bite in nature.
Yeah, well, look, we saw
this was about the lost pet of some sort.
African serval down in Pelham, still lost.
Yeah, and I was just talking about the hyena. I saw on an episode of Law and Order, and I figured it was the gospel because a couple of drug dealers threw a guy in a room with a hyena. It ate through everything, including bone, and one of the detectives stated that it had the most powerful bite in the animal kingdom, so I believed it.
It is number 10, according to sciencefocus.com, we learned, but the gators and crocodiles own this list, Commissioner Sankey. Number 3 was the American alligator. Number 2, the saltwater croc. And number 1, the Nile croc.
Yeah, I would have gone with an alligator.
Yeah, the Nile croc is the way to go.
I just didn't want that to stand unchallenged.
Well, you just don't want to be bitten by a hyena.
None of them are good.
I'll give the last one. I filtered some of these out. I was a little bit stunned that you had a caller who started to tell you about his dream involving Robert Parrish. No one kind of pushed back on that. I guess that happens routinely.
I did say he was smoking whatever Robert Parrish smoked back in the day.
Yeah.
That's just an assortment of them.
Where was the one about the Slim Jim sandwich?
The Shoney's. That was from the fall. November 10th, tweet from Ryan Brown. Shoney's strawberry pie was legit. Exclamation point.
You're
clearly more excited about that.
Indeed.
Also used to love their Slim Jim sandwich. It's just a period after that.
Mm-hmm.
Used to hit the breakfast bar after every high school game.
I don't know
what that means.
Yeah, the high school football game, we would go to the breakfast bar at Shoney's.
I'm not a big fan of the Slim Jim, personally, but I didn't realize that a Slim Jim sandwich is not a cylindrical thing stacked between two pieces.
Right. It does not involve the processed meat of the Slim Jim. No, it is like, it's kind of your Italian meats with some Italian dressing, lettuce, maybe some mayo if you want it on toasted bread. Very good.
That sounds fine.
Oh, it's a very good sandwich, the Slim Jim from Shoney's.
I just want you to know I'm listening.
Well, thank you. We always appreciate it. Time for Lance's List.
Let's do Lance's List now with the commissioner of the Southeastern Conference.
Can you cook up a little music back there, Rocky?
You should have seen Nick Saban's face right now in the car. Hearing that comment.
One hobby you have that would surprise most.
You don't play golf, right?
No, I would like to.
Well, let's go. Well,
I guess CrossFit could be, right?
Yeah, I mean, workouts, but I read and I do CrossFit.
But I bet you're the only commissioner right now that is doing CrossFit in America.
Yeah, Larry Scott's in pretty good shape, so I think he plays tennis. I'm not sure what he does.
He does it on the Pac-12 Network, so we don't know.
Yeah,
a little shot there. Pac-12 Network.
I got it.
Okay.
Subtle,
yes.
I want to be careful.
I know.
I whittle balsa wood airplanes.
Okay.
Do you really?
No.
Okay. I was about to say.
We kind of believe it.
With my daughters, I built Estes model rockets a couple times just because I had done that with a kid, and there's one on top of Oak Mountain Elementary School.
That belongs to you.
Okay,
you want that back?
May or may not be mine.
Yes. If you could only have one fruit for the rest of your life, what is the fruit?
Macintosh apple from upstate New York, picked off the tree in September.
Wow.
But you got to be specific.
Yeah, a little more specific.
On Old Man Johnson's farm.
Speaking of New York,
Beacon Skiff.
Best pizza outside of the city of New York.
Gino's East in Chicago.
It is good. I've had that. They do a cornmeal crust. It's the difference.
Yeah, Gino's East. My daughter just graduated from Wheaton College, and I've been up there, and the joke among her friends was, I only ate at Gino's East when we went up there.
Yeah. Really
dozens
good.
Dozens of times.
Really good.
Most interesting person you've ever played a round of golf with.
I was on a putting green with Joe Theismann once. Most interesting person I've ever played a round of golf with.
Do you feel like you have to ask Joe Theismann about the injury when you're around him?
I didn't talk to him. I was just on the putting green. Okay. I mean, he asked a different question.
A much nicer guy than you would imagine, Joe Theismann, or at least I imagine. Really nice
guy. I've turned down the region's opportunity. Like I told him last year, I said, look, I haven't played in 8 years. I don't have time. And then they came back and said, hey, we really want you to play. And I said, okay, I'll play, but I'm only playing if I can play with Charles Barkley, because I thought, by comparison, if I haven't played in 8 years, I've seen Charles swing, I'm in pretty good. I'm not going to be the worst.
Yeah, that's
a good way to go there. Last thing you Googled.
How to get to WJOX, probably, right?
No, man, this should be, like, easy. I was Googling a back support for my car seat.
Wow.
I'm getting old.
Kind of stuff like CrossFit.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. these like G Cloud shoes. You know what those are?
Uh-uh.
They're these sneakers that everybody wears. I Googled those last week and ended up buying a pair like that.
Wow.
They're like made in Switzerland. So I watch in sneakers from Switzerland.
Saddest movie you've ever seen?
Tears of the Sun with Bruce Willis. Military movie set in Africa.
I've never seen it, though.
It's a war film, isn't it?
Have you seen it, Rock?
We're... A long time ago. It's a war film, isn't it?
I can't hear you.
You can't hear Rockstar?
No.
He asked if it's a war film.
Yeah, yeah.
War film.
Yeah. We were soldiers once. And young.
That's
our friend Mike White is actually in that film. And finally, one thing that you've done before that you would never do again.
When I was in college, I climbed to the top of like a pine tree at a swimming hole that was like 50 feet up the ground, and it was shaking.
You know,
I would never do that again. I guess
your alcohol was not involved there.
It was not. I've done things that don't involve alcohol but should have. And I got down, and I'm like, I'm never doing that again.
That's a good choice.
I feel like Chuck Dunlap wants you to come to work, or I feel like somebody somewhere is missing Greg Sankey. I mean, we appreciate the hour.
Yeah,
been fun.
Are you going to hang with us more? Are you with us all morning long? Do you have things to do?
It's 8 o'clock.
Yeah. Yeah. The right answer is I have things to do. Yeah. We'd set this up a week ago, and no idea. In fact, no idea that we'd be talking about Mike, but I appreciate the opportunity
to
begin with a conversation about a friend, and I've probably said it so much that it doesn't seem as meaningful as it should. We lost a friend, all of us.
Yep, good man.
Where college football never ends.
The kick is good! Auburn wins! 22-19! The Auburn Tigers are on top of the college football world.
The Jocks Roundtable with LT, Dunaway, and Brown.